Psalm 19, and I shall read this psalm. Psalm 19 to the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor knowledge where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Brethren, I thank God for the opportunity to be able to minister the word to all of us. We thank God also for Dr. Jeffrey. He was with us last Sunday. I lost my voice, so if my voice do pater, you know, go off, please excuse me. In as much as Dr. Jeffrey can tell you, last week I was trying to chair the meeting, and thank God I was able to get it done. I had to cancel an appointment at the Calvary Pandan AF because totally I could not talk. But thank God I'm able to come here this morning. Our topic is God's world and God's word. Okay, and if you turn to Psalm 19, right, verses 1 to 6, we'll talk about God's world, and then from verse 7 to 14 concerning God's word. And we realize both are important, right? God reveals himself to this world through creation. God reveals himself to us through his holy word. Right in the Botanic Gardens in Singapore, I think it's somewhere very near here, we have an echo park which includes an evolution garden. And many may object as to why, you know, especially Christians, our government utilize the display to highlight evolution as against creationism. The same goes also in our Singapore Science Center, right? We bring our children there, students there, you go in, right? At the site there, you have a timeline showing how the human species developed through time. In our present day, many are more to the world than to the word of God. More to what they can get and grab rather than to look to the one who gives us every blessing. And so many are refusing to believe that there is an almighty God, our maker, the creator and sustainer of our world. So today we are going to look into what the psalmist has to say concerning both God's world and God's word. And note this, right? It's a common thing that we note here. Both are God-breathed, right? In a sense, God spoke and the world came into being. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, and I'd like us to turn to that, Genesis chapter 1, and here we see what? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 3, and the Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. Creation came into being because God spoke. Right? And so it is also the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. It's said to be God-inspired. Literally, God-breathed. And so it is inspired of God. All right. So God's self-disclosure in verses 1 to 6 of our text in Genesis, Psalm 19, speaks of God's word. Self-disclosure in what you call general revelation. Okay? Psalm 19 was written by King David, as the heading can tell us. And David declared that God can be known through the testimony of what we see around us in our world. This in theological term is called what? General revelation. As mentioned, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Right? So God created. In God's creation, God is speaking. Note the words in verses 1 and 2. Right, of Psalm 19. The heavens declare, okay, it is evident, right, that there is a God. And right, it uttereth, day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. So all these has to do with God's general revelation. Right? Their line is gone out to the earth, and their words to the end of the world. So none can miss this message. Creation points to our great Creator. Everything is ordered aright. They say that if we were to move nearer the sun, or the sun move nearer to us, less than a mile or 3 miles, we'll all what? Have problems. Ultraviolet. We'll all die of radiation. If you move further away, we'll all have what you call the other way around, we all freeze. God ordered it. God timed it. God knew about it. And He made it perfect. Just as the Word of God is perfect. The world that it's made of is corrupted but through sin. But God made everything and it was good. God made man and it was very, very good. Right? God said very, very good. So, that's it. Their line is gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Those who are blind cannot see. If I recall this incident, Sir Isaac Newton, godly man, inventor, was visited by a friend one day. Knowing the friend, showed the friend around his place, he had all the contraptions. He went to one room, opened it, he went inside. Oh, so wonderful, you know, you have all the ball bearings coming down and hit this thing, and then they go around and all that. Wow, so wonderful. Knowing that a friend was an atheist, he closed the door and say, the friend asked, how come you get all these things moving so precise, you know, the movements? He said, no. You know, I have a spare wheel, small wheel, spring I threw inside, you know, pieces of metal I threw inside. And after the next week I came by, I just opened the door, everything was arranged that way. Can that be? The friend was scratching his head. This guy must be crazy. You see? All of creation declare the glory of God. It is sad that in this world, people do not see the hand of the Creator. They say seeing is believing. Agree? Seeing is believing. Prove to me. Show me. I see it, I'll believe it. Tell them, and they won't believe. So, that's it. Be it day or night, the heavens declare the glory of God. Nothing can match the wondrous hues of nature's color. Solomon in all his splendor, it's not like a ray, you know, like the lilies of the field. the grass. It's here today, gone tomorrow. But God painted it. Right? Many of us have seen the glorious colors of nature, the wonders of nature. Right? The Grand Canyon, USA, the awesome thunder of Niagara Falls, the blinding white stretches of the Arctic icy landscape. You marvel to wear goggles, you know, to protect your eyes. These are the wonders of God that we have seen. I was driving Dr. Wee's Hilux from Trengano. I did him a favor after preaching there, and then I brought it down to Calvary Jaya, so that when he flew in, he went for a holiday to visit his children in Australia. He's coming back, so he asked me to drive the Hilux. I drove all the way down from Trengano, crossing the Genting Highlands. It was a beautiful scene. And we were passing by, we went up. Wonderful, there were two rainbows in the crossing, right across the morning sky. And my wife beside me, we were just wondering, how wonderful God created the rainbows. Two rainbows at one go. You see one, you're reminded of God's goodness and grace in sparing Noah. You see the other, it's a double confirmation. Right? So it's really wonderful. The sun never fails us. Right? In them, look at verse 4b, in them he set a tabernacle for the sun. It runs precisely. Right? Which as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber rejoices as a strong man to run a race. And so we realize the sun's prominence in the whole galaxy. Without the sun, we will all die. Right? The sun's prominent in ruling the skies. Many of us have heard of Fiddler on the Roof. Right? The musical. Sunrise, sunset. Sunrise, sunset. As sure as the sun shall rise. As sure as the sun shall set. So, I thank God because I stay in Bordeaux, and we have a view that is very, very beautiful, because I stay on the 21st floor. And the sun never fails to display the glory of God. On the one side, we have a city side, and we have the other one facing the sea. Early in the morning, a dark night, you know, if you can't sleep. You can do that in Lao Tuan Biru, right? In the morning, you can go and see the sun's rise. Suddenly, you know, in the dark night, some twinkling stars, and then suddenly, it's darkest at the strike of dawn. At the break of dawn, you see a light just shining right through the horizon. Beautiful. At night, at the city landscape, from my balcony, you can see sometimes the whole area. It's really red background with all the white clouds. The sun is setting. So beautiful. It always reminds me of God's goodness and grace. Why is it that man is so foolish? Right? That's why they refuse to see. In Romans chapter 1, let us turn to it, verses 18 to 23. Let me just read it for us. Romans chapter 1. Verse 18 to 23, alright? But Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Yes, the Bible summarizes it so clearly for us. Seeing is believing true. To these people, they see, yet they would not believe. Their hearts are hardened. Right? And so, I believe many of you must have received this article on the internet. Right? Recently in Florida, there was this man, he was an atheist, so he brought a court case. The judge heard the case. He said, he listened to the attorney that was hired by this atheist. He said, you all discriminated against us. Christians and Jews have observances of their holy days. They have their Christmas, Easter, they have their Hanukkah. And in our local context, you know, we have our Festival of Lights, we have our Chigwe, you know, 7 days. But we atheists have nothing. Good. Well, the judge, after hearing that, he banged the table, case dismissed. What? The lawyer stood up and said, how can? Your Honor, how can you possibly dismiss this case? Right? The Christians have Christmas, Easter, and other things. And all the other things, right? Yet my client and all other atheists have no such holidays. The judge leaned forward and told him, but you do. Your client counsel is woefully ignorant. Right? The calendar says April the 1st is Fool's Day. Psalm 14:1 states this. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Thus it is the opinion of this court that if your client says there is no God, then he is a fool. Therefore, 1st of April is his day. Court dismissed. Was this an April Fool's joke? You think? No, this happened 28th of December 2008. Alright? I purposely reproduced it, sent it to the Chinese congregation interpreter. Alright, go and see him. Alright? Or see my Sister Wendy. This was reported in the Fillmore Gazette in Florida. You see? Seeing is believing. True? They do not see. They even brought it to court. Thank God for a judge that's Bible believing, Bible quoting, and have that courage to tell this guy off. Right? Now we come to the other portion. Let's turn to Psalm 19 and look at verse 7 to 14. Right? We're going to look at it about for time, alright? We'll just try to run through it. First of all, the attributes of God's Word, verses 7 to 9, the appreciation of God's Word, verses 10 to 11, and then the application of God's Word, 12 to 14. Right. Attributes of God's Word, verses 7 to 9. Appreciation of God's Word, 10 to 11, and application of God's Word, 12 to 14. Attributes of God's Word, right? The law of the Lord is perfect, verse 7. Converting the soul, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The law of the Lord is perfect. I don't even have to tell you this. This has been preached by Dr. Jeffrey Koo and others, and we have heard that. It is complete. It is full. It achieves its end. And God has delivered it to us. Remember, our verses 1 to 6 tells us what? God's Word. Seeing is believing. Now we're going to go to God's Word. Believing is seeing. You agree to that? You believe this is God's Word, is perfect, is given, is sufficient for us in faith and doctrine and to govern our lives and to direct our ways. Right? The law of the Lord is perfect. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It shows us where we stand as sinners, needing the grace of God. And it shows us the direction we need to go as a light to our path. the pathway of true righteousness, holy devotion unto the Lord. This is what you call faith. Believing is seeing God in His fullness, in His holy word. Right? And so we see the attributes of God's word. The general revelation that may cause a person to accept the existence of God. Right? This is only head knowledge. You may say, okay, I go along with you, Pastor Wee. Yes, I go along with you. There's a God. So what? That doesn't give you. Only particular revelation, or what you call special revelation, in God's word. Because God's word contains the gospel. God's word is able to convert the soul, to turn us around to Him. And it's only God's word, with the working of God's Spirit, that can turn a soul from his sinful ways to see that he needs the grace and mercies of God. He needs Christ. You and I have experienced it, because the Lord, by His mercy, has enlightened us to act faith in Him. Because without the Word, none can be saved. Without the Spirit of God, none can be saved. We can give mental assent to one, right? But we will not be saved. Yes, there is God's will. Yes, there is God's word. That's it. Fine. I was in the FCM. We have a China student, doctoral student, doing engineering with us. And we were doing the Book of Proverbs. I think Samuel was there. And then, you know, Sam was there and we were doing the... He gives mental assent. Wonderful book. He did the, discussion. He says it's wonderful. He comes more faithful than many of the other students every time he was there. Did that save him? No. Giving mental assent is nothing. We are going to see that later. Right? So, sin... Right? So, the law here, and the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise is simple. When we trust God, we trust His word to guide us in life. We may be a simple person, but we are a happy person. We are wise to the things of the world. Right? So the law is used here, meaning God's law, which shows that men are sinners and stand condemned before God. Right? The gospel is God's redemptive grace at Christ's expense. The statutes of the Lord are right. Yes, they are right, because we stand upright. We stand with confidence, and we can fully rejoice in God's goodness and grace. Sin separates us from God. Sin deafens and saddens the heart. So do us when we hear or see a brother in Christ falling into sin. We are very, very sad. Right? Enlightening the eyes. Wow. Enlightening us. With God's law, we know what is right and wrong. That is our canon. That is our yardstick. Right? Between right and wrong. Our judgments are at best 90%, 100%, very seldom. Right? We have our own thinking. Not 100%. Only God's judgment. And through God's word. Okay? So it enlightens the eyes. We know what is right. Scriptural principles, when applied, will cause us to walk in the light. We walk in obedience. We do not walk in darkness and sin. And we are very, very happy. I was talking to a taxi driver. I gave him a try. I spoke to him. Right? This is what to do. Nowadays, it's very difficult. Earning his living is very difficult. Sunday morning, he says, nobody. Later on, when the shopping starts, and then people will come. It's not easy to ask such a person to go and attend church. It's very tough. Right? I spoke to a bicycle kiosk man in the East Coast Park yesterday when I went cycling in the morning. He said, what to do? Even if I want to go, I cannot let go. Because Saturday and Sunday are my best days. The rest of the days, you can come and see. Sometimes nothing. I don't get anything. It's difficult to live life. But we have the Word of God It's wonderful. It directs us in all our ways, right? It enlightens our eyes, right? The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. We are so happy when we follow God's way. That's why I told the taxi driver, I say, we walk in the light. We're not afraid of people throwing stones. Agree? But if you have done something against other people, you hammer somebody, you walk the dark lane with fear and trepidation. Somebody might wallop you back. You see? So if we can stand in the principles that God has laid down, you'll keep us on the right track. Enlightening, the commandments of the Lord are pure. God will never command us to do things that are against His law. They are pure. They enlighten our eyes. Right? Look at verse 9. We have to carry on. The fear of the Lord is clean. Yes, it's clean. It makes us clean. Fear God and we have none to fear. Who do you fear? I believe in God. I believe in God's word. Call me a fool. I don't mind. I'm God's fool. Whose fool are you? In the way of the fool that would, I think in my own wisdom, this is not in this text. This is not in this text. This is, no, come on. God, give me a brain. I can think. I can do all this kind of stuff. You go and arrange all around you. I'd rather trust God's word as perfect, clean, pure, wholesome, health for my soul, food for my soul. Right? So I fear God because I dare to stand before Him and say, the Lord say, are you so foolish to believe every word? I say, yes, I'm a fool. Don't mind. All is done, why? Seeing is believing. Right now is what? Believing is seeing. That's the crux of the whole matter. You believe, then you see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's it. Okay? So, the judgment of the Lord. None can escape the justice of God. Like the judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Can we give God any excuse for all our sins? Of course, we will not be judged for our sins. Whatever excuse, that the work that we do for the Lord will reward us accordingly. But every one of us have to give an account before God. Can we give an excuse for doing less for God? Can we give an excuse we have ulterior motive in what we do for the Lord? No excuse will be acceptable because the Lord, what? Looks at the heart. That's where it matters most, isn't it? Right. And so it's important. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. So how we stand and answer the Lord, even in our work for him. Do we cut corners? Do we go around and, you know, lessen the impact because there are some people around us that we don't want to offend? We preach the word of God without apology. Because we have to be true to God. Why? Because we fear God rather than we fear men. Alright. Look at verse 10 and 11. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Right? Desired above gold. No. Much fine gold. Sweeter than honey. Sweet. Honey is sweet, but this is sweeter. Right? It's valuable. Gold in our world is valuable. What happened to our investments? They are all in papers. Right? But no, they are now all in internet. Right? Just a number and that's it, credited to your account. So gold is more valuable, what they have and hold. Right? But do you know that in the world to come, in our heavenly home, what is the position of gold? Heaven, the streets are paved with what? What we step on today, dirt and dust, right? God is trying to tell us, this is that and thus in my kingdom. Right? We are to send forth our what? Treasures. Lay up treasures in heaven. So send all your gold there, consignment there. No. Because you'll be trodden by you and I one day. It shows us gold is nothing. It's vanity. Valuable here, but vain there. Nothing. Right? All our needs will be met. No problem. Right? So, whatever it is, the Lord is good. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Right? God's word gave warning. It conscience us against the pitfalls of life. It shows us to the way of life and life everlasting. For by the keeping of them is great reward. Because we can answer for our lives. Lord, I honor thee with all that I have. Whether it be possession, it be time, it be talents, all that I have, even with our lives. Right? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Christ liveth in me and through us. Right? And so our lives belongs to the Lord. Right? And so by keeping of them is great reward. Brings true happiness and fulfillment in life. Are you satisfied with life? I was talking to my grandson. He is only 2. Ask him, are you happy? He said, Kong Kong, are you happy? I said, yes. He said, I'm happy. What does a little boy know? You bring him out, you go here, go there. He's happy with the people who cares for him, loves him, gives him that comfort. Yeah, happy. I'm happy because I'm with him. You know? Yeah, our loved ones make us happy. What makes you happy? The Lord makes us happy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice evermore. That's happiness, right? Applications of God's word. We must move on now. Who can understand his errors? All right, not God's errors. Our own human. We can never understand ourselves. Because in many ways we are very critical. We judge. Huh? Even whoever that stands here is always, oh, this one is good, this one is bad. Huh? That's why I always wonder and marvel at Reverend Toh's homiletic swimming pool class. You know, we FEBC students, when our turn comes with fear and trembling, we'll go up there and preach our message, and Reverend Toh will sit there. And then we'll also be so frightened. But he always has an encouragement. Always has been an encouragement to us. He will say something good to encourage our hearts. How wonderful it is, right? So it is wonderful to know, right, that the Lord God is good, right? Attributes of God's word, appreciation of God's word, application. Who can understand his errors? We can't. We prepare the best, but sometimes we get critique from other students. Right? Always understand. Have a teachable spirit. That is the most wonderful thing you can have. Teach a wise man and he'll be wiser still. That's wonderful, right? A teachable spirit. And so here we go, right? Who can understand his error? It's not possible that it's divine error. It's our error. We can't understand ourselves. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Yes, we want to stand right before God. Examine our hearts, right? Right? Cleanse me from secret faults. People can only see us what we do. They see and they make their judgments. But there is another judgment that we have to deal with daily. Does God see the things that we do behind doors? Does God know that we are communing with Him, praying? Pastors are guilty, preachers are guilty. Bible college students are even more guilty. I was a Bible college student once. Every time reading the Bible is trying to get things out of it. The other dimension is lost. Why? Because we have to do our work. We have to do our assignment. You know, then the Bible becomes like a doctor's stethoscope. tanjia kind of thing, you know, an item to carry on in life. No. There must be a personal time with God, which is very, very important. Right? God sees our personal life. God sees the faults. God sees the struggles. And God will help us. That's why he says, cleanse me now from secret faults. Right? And then he goes on to say, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. What are these presumptuous sin? Because the presumptuous sin stems from a spirit of pride and a critical spirit, judging other people. Ah, that one is good, this one is no good, you know. Right? The Lord Jesus Christ always say, judge righteous judgments. But we are often very critical. All of us. Right? So, presumptuous. They'll soon return to haunt us. Remember, if you criticize others, be prepared. Others may hit back. Okay? So, we use our words carefully. That's why in verse 14 it says what? Okay. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. How we use our words. How do we speak the way we do? To whom we speak, when to speak, and of whom we speak about. All these things are important. Even if our words are acceptable before men, do we care that they are acceptable before God? It's our natural tendency, right, to lash out at other people. To be very defensive when people tell us our errors. Or people try to encourage us, you know, and say, hey, sorry, brother, this is not too good that you're doing. Oh, no, 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 you give our excuses. We are always very defensive. Be open, right? What we speak reveals the condition of our hearts, right? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Do you realize this? Words can heal, words can kill. An article here about this Shanghai lady. She has three children. Right? In China, rural families are allowed two children. Right? If the first one is a daughter, but a third child usually results in a heavy fine or social penalties imposed by the government. So, what? You have three children? The neighbors started to taunt her. They harass her. So this lady, Wang Wenzhen, age 33, she was a migrant from Fujian. She couldn't take it any longer. So one day, she took the last child and killed him. Threw him into a river. It's very sad. Especially when we don't like another person and when the name is mentioned. Speaking negatively, we'll add more fuel. Watch our hearts. Watch ourselves. Let the words of my mouth, the psalmist plead, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in God's sight first. Because God is there. We are accountable. My strength and my Redeemer. Why my strength? Because of ourselves, we can never do it. We can never guard our hearts. We can never guard our mouths. By God's grace, we can. And this is it. That's the plea. Well, seeing is believing. We see the world around us. And I hope, even this morning, do we believe in the God that we have that saved us? Do we see ourselves as unworthy sinners to come before the Lord and confess everything? The other one is believing is seeing. Do we see God's word as important, critical for our spiritual life? Do we take in God's word systematically? Do we grow in the grace and in the knowledge of God? Why is this so important? Because you don't grow, we are stunted. We don't grow means we are dead, spiritually dead. And the soul that doesn't grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ will ultimately be an unregenerate. Because there's no growth. It will die. It will degenerate. It will be no more. Are we growing in the grace of God? In our speech, in our lives, in the way we order ourselves? God looks. God knows. And we are accountable. Before man and before God. That's why, you know why we are made with two cheeks? Because if we make this one quarrel with this one, we are ready for both hands to land here. It's a sobering fact. Watch our words, because it comes out from our heart. And our heart is always depraved. Check ourselves. God be our strength and our help. And may God's word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word unto us. Pray, Lord, that thy word will enliven our spiritual life, will strengthen us that we may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Bless the rest of our day, the events that will follow, O Lord, especially in the ministry of this church. Thou will encourage and strengthen the brethren here. Thank thee, Father, for all thy goodness and grace. In Jesus' blessed name. Amen.